Hello, everyone. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This episode is all about the Royal Rumble, specifically the first ever Royal Rumble held in January of 1988. Chris Kelly and I talk about that because I asked him to. We recapped, reviewed, examined, whatever you want to call it, every WrestleMania. So we've done that from WrestleMania 1 to 32. We did it in 32 consecutive weeks. I miss it. And I wanted to do that to sort of get familiar with the entire world of professional wrestling, specifically the WWE, which is, if you are listening to this, you understand is like the biggest one. That's the one that matters the most. So I wanted to check out sort of the in-between. So we're starting with the Royal Rumble. That's this episode. Unlike WrestleMania's, this does not feature Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump, nor does it feature possible Republican vice presidential nominee Chris Christie. Those are in WrestleMania's 29, 23, 20, 7, 5, and 4. And I'm doing this backwards based on memory. The point is, Donald Trump has been in a lot of WrestleMania's. Chris Kelly and I did a little speech, talk, whatever you want to call it, at the Smithsonian Museum of National American History. You can go to youmeetthemeverybody.com and look at that. So, without further ado, here's Chris Kelly and I on the 1988 Royal Rumble! Why is the first Royal Rumble that comes up 2012?
I have no idea.
Let's see that poster really quick because it looked interesting. Is it Triple H? Who is this? Oh, RVD? Santino.
Oh,
come on, tell me you don't want to watch.
So dumb.
You don't want to watch the 2012 Royal Rumble with Santino on the poster.
There's, see, the like beginning of the decade, there was interesting stuff with Punk and Bryan and some other things, and then a couple years after that, the Shield. But everything else on the card, like you would have the Shield and then also like the Great Khali. It was this like this extremes of really good and then the worst stuff they've ever done.
Okay, so what we watched was the first Royal Rumble, is that correct?
Yes, 1988.
So this was not a pay-per-view.
No, it was a, I'm guessing by the runtime, a three-hour special on USA.
Exactly.
On
okay.
a Sunday night, January 24th, 1988.
Did you like it?
No. It was. It started okay and then got worse. Well, because we watched the whole special.
Yes.
Because these cards, as they continue, you know, starting at the second one, continuing to the 29th that happened this January, it's a full pay-per-view card, so there's a lot of other stuff plus the titular match. This had, like, two good matches, a really gimmicky thing that's, like, Vince all over.
I love it so much.
The Royal Rumble. And then, like, it doesn't end with the Royal Rumble. It ends with, like, a tag match that doesn't matter.
Okay, so I wanted to do this because, to me, this is, like, the wrestling fans' version of WrestleMania, I guess you could say.
Sure.
If we're talking about WWF and WWE, this is not Starrcade.
Right. I mean, a Royal Rumble, it is the approachable one. It is the one where you can have people who have seen wrestling ever. I mean, this is the thing now.
This is the one that got me back into this because I think I watched the Rumble
2015.
Yes, at your house.
Yes.
And that was the first live wrestling thing I watched since going to a live event, but that was a whole weird to do. For maybe ever. Even as a kid, I never watched any of these live.
Right. And I think the thing with Rumble, and if we get to any of the ones in, like, the 2000s, that's the interesting thing is, like, oh, my God, it's that guy from the 80s. It's
yes.
that guy from the 90s. Obviously, they're not doing any of that on the first one. There's no, like, callback to do.
Sure. I will concede that point. Yes, there's yeah. no callback.
Especially, you know, in the when the first one, when they're figuring out the format. And there are some good ones. There are good Royal Rumble matches where, I mean, this one is just for bragging rights, but eventually it becomes for a shot at the title. Almost always.
So this is shot in. This is 1988, early part of 1988. Our announcers are Jesse the Body Ventura.
And Vince McMahon.
The announcer, Vince McMahon.
Yes.
So the entire time I'm wondering, why is Vince McMahon calling this? Now, I understand Vince McMahon was the announcer, but where was either the Brain, or was Bobby the Brain Heenan, or where was Gorilla Monsoon?
I have no idea.
Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse was my favorite part of all of the WrestleManias.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because what other shows they had on USA at the time.
They were, I think Saturday Night Main Event was
okay.
going on. So it's
That's
not like,
in like 85.
If he's still in the company till at least like 93.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. Anyways, because Vince is there, it shines this interesting light on the entire thing. Like late on, let's go till almost the way end when Jesse the Body Ventura accuses Vince McMahon of racism. That's amazing.
Yeah. When does that happen?
Seriously?
In that way, I'm saying.
Yeah. That's yeah. like, do you not remember this?
No, go for it.
Is it like a minute? It's like 2 hours, 5 minutes in. It's during the last match, And he's like, that man could hang from the ropes and with his bare feet. And Ventura's like, that's racist. You're racist. It's amazing.
That's great heel work.
So, like, that's why I like watching these horrible wrestling events.
Sure.
When a governor could call a billionaire racist.
You know, they were neither of those things at that time. So.
You are correct.
Yes.
What did you think of the actual look and feel of the event?
You know, it felt like a house show.
Exactly.
I mean, it felt like a... It's actually kind of big. The Cops Coliseum in Hamilton, Ontario. But it looked, you know...
18,000 people were there.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid. That's what they do now for some of these.
Yeah, but the fact that it looked like a house show was great. Did you notice the announcers weren't sitting near the ring?
Yeah, they're up on the platform, which
there's like weird. Yeah, there's a weird platform thing going on. And in addition to the weird platform thing, there's a weird bodylifting competition sort of thing.
Yeah.
We're going to be all over the map on this episode,
yeah,
by
mean,
the way.
I think that's the interesting thing with this is that it's a special that was on like a Sunday night, a random Sunday in January.
So is this right before the Super Bowl? Maybe like this was their week between.
I'm gonna find out what.
Because this is January 24th, 1988, and right now the Royal Rumble is the week between the NFC and AFC Championship games, the bye week, then the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
so it's usually that.
There's probably a story here. The Super Bowl was the next week.
Okay, so they locked in this date and they held it. Since.
Yeah.
And where now, WrestleMania will fluctuate slightly
right,
every year.
And then they wanted this, I guess. And
it's
and
such
they got
a
it.
Good idea to get people back in.
Right. And what I was saying as far as the, not in this one, but eventually it'll be, this starts the road to WrestleMania. Whoever wins it, as we saw when we did the WrestleMania ones, gets a shot at the belt. So it starts your storyline in motion. And they've, and you know, the best years where the Royal Rumble and Mania line up, you know, it's somebody, you know, that whole story is a 4-month story, 3-month story starting at Royal Rumble.
What I really like about this is even without the who you're going to face at WrestleMania, the entire thing to me reads like, okay, who is our second most popular guy, right?
Right.
In every WrestleMania, or not every, sorry, WrestleMania is 0 through 9 or 1 through 9, it's Hulk Hogan. That's
yeah.
it. 10, it's sort of like Bret Hart, kind of, but we don't really want to give it to him, and it's all fluctuating. And then it's the Attitude Era and blah, 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 and then it's Cena, right? Now it's like, okay, I don't really want to watch Hulk Hogan have a match ever. So now I don't have to watch Hulk Hogan. I get to watch a Hulk Hogan contract signing, which is inherently much more entertaining than a Hulk Hogan match.
Definitely.
And I get to watch like the guys compete to see who's going to be the second most popular wrestler. And that's the Rumble. That's the whole point of the Rumble.
Right. And, you know, unfortunately for us in 1988. The roster is garbage.
It's really bad. That being said, do you want to go through chronological now?
Yeah. No, and I will say, it does start really well and gets progressively worse.
That's why I was like, oh, let's do this.
So
this is great.
It starts with Rick Rude versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat in probably the best wrestling of the first, comparatively to like the Manias we saw of this era. I mean, Steamboat's coming off Mania 3, one of the best matches of all time.
Yes.
But of all like Manias of this era, there's not good wrestling like this other than that one match that Steamboat's
also.
You are
also correct, yes.
And this is also, you know, it's just like, it's technically good. They both look good. They both had like, you know, pretty juiced bodies. And they look the part of 80s wrestlers.
When we first did this, I couldn't tell what steroids were versus what muscles were. And now I'm like, oh, that's steroids. They're both on steroids.
Yeah. But at the same time, like Steamboat stuff would look good now.
Yeah.
And Rick Rude's heel stuff is great forever. I mean, him posing and doing pose-offs all the time. And, you know, you watched this a little while ago, and I watched it today. But when Steamboat's working his arm through the match, he tries to pose, and he sells it that he can't, like, flex his left bicep anymore. You know, and I just thought this was, like, a solid wrestling match, like, as good or better than what we were seeing at
and then
time.
Here's something I don't think we said once in the entire run of WrestleManias that we covered in the 80s. The next match, the women's match, was legit good, and it was over 15 minutes long. What? The first half hour of the Royal Rumble is more progressive and better than almost any modern-day pay-per-view.
Definitely.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so we have this great match.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Out of nowhere.
Literally out of nowhere. Also, multiple times in this event, there's 2 out of 3 falls matches.
Yeah, which is something we rarely see now.
Yes.
Like, unless it's a blow off to a feud. They've been doing it in NXT a little bit, but you generally don't see it. It's an old school thing.
It's not a bad thing.
No, no. It's a cool one. Like, they've done it in NXT where it's like, all right, you guys have fought for like the blow off of a 3-series feud. It's like, well, if there's been interference or there's a ref issue, it's like, well, this will settle it to end it, you know?
I like it.
It's old school.
I'm not 100% sold on it, and I understand why it doesn't work, and it needs to be, I don't know if it would work in a house show situation, but right. It's kind of a way to make both performers look strong.
Yeah, yeah. The way you give one to one, mm-hmm. to the other, and then the first, whoever's going over obviously gets the last one, but you split them in that way, and it builds attention. It's a built-in three-act structure.
So even though we just praise the WWF for featuring two great matches within 30 minutes, one of which is a 15-plus minute women's match, we do have to say that the winners of that match were the Jumping Bomb Angels, who happened to be from Japan.
Yeah, that's not great. I mean, they're not called, like, the Kamikaze Angels or something.
They defeated the Glamour Girls, who did not look like girls at all.
Those are women.
Mid to late 30s, maybe?
Are you skipping the bench press contest?
Was that in the middle?
I think that was in the middle.
Oh god! No, I don't think you're right. I think the bench press is later. Yeah, definitely the bench press is later. It goes Steamboat Rude, Jumping Bomb Angels versus the Glamour Girls with Jimmy Hart. Then the weird extended weightlifting competition / attempt for the record. Then the Royal Rumble. I think that's what it was.
I have it in my notes, but...
Maybe you're right. I apologize.
I did watch it an hour ago, but, you know. But anyway, we can go with the Jumping Bomb Angels versus the Glamour Girls. The Jumping Bomb Angels of Norio Tateno and Itsuki Yamazaki, or as Vince calls them, like, the red one and the pink one, because he couldn't be asked to learn their names. Jesse does ask him for the name so he can ask one for a date. And then he says, he says Norio, but it sounds like Marino or something. He's like, that doesn't sound Japanese. It sounds Italian. And I wish he had said Italian, but he didn't. And much like the first match is better wrestling than we saw for many WrestleManias.
Yes.
This is the best women's wrestling compared to all the WrestleManias except for 32, except for the one that just happened.
Oh, my God. Is that true?
I mean, it's better than the Bellas versus Paige and AJ.
Yeah, that was
it has the
match.
Same. I mean, they were doing an octopus hold in '88, which was AJ's finisher in 2014 or whatever.
Oh god, that's depressing.
2015, but yeah, it's like first of all, the Japanese women are great.
Yes,
and just the suplexes, the octopus hold, they're fast. It's good tag wrestling. Like they were doing
actual
stuff.
Wrestling.
Yeah, and they were doing stuff. A lot of that double team stuff, the double team drop kicks and stuff. That's what the Rockers were doing around then. But
yeah.
The Japanese and women are generally better. But yeah, they get the first fall. Glamour women get the second, and they
the
finish with the third.
Glamour women.
Yeah, and it's funny because this is a point where the heel can be, a jerk, but right. Like the last fall is a weird pin where the shoulder's actually up.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah, they shouldn't
count.
Have won.
They shouldn't have won, and they have it on replay. And Ventura's like, "This is ridiculous. I dispute that finish," and he's right. So it's very strange that, there's the example with the bench press we'll get to, but it's funny when they have replay, but just don't show it.
Yeah,
you look at the replay and go, "No, don't just call it." And it's interesting here. This was actually for the Women's Tag Championships, which is a title they had from '83 to '89. It looks like it. I mean. I can't tell how much it was contested, but it wasn't contested. Like, the Glamour Girls had it for 900 days at one point.
Okay.
So it was just one of those belts that they had, and maybe they would contest on house shows.
Sure.
They didn't have a ton of women. I mean, obviously, they brought these women in from Japan. They had held it. The Glamour Girls, over the reign of the belt.
Do you think it should come back?
Definitely.
Are there any... There are, there have been factions. There hasn't been a big... faction type of thing in 6 months though in the WWE.
They're
we should
kind
date
of,
this by the way. It's June 30th, 2016.
Right, and we're coming up on the brand split. We're not sure which belts and who's going what. Are there going to be women on both shows on one show? Is there going to be split belts?
Is that really an issue? Like women only might be on one show.
Well,
is that a
if
rumor?
It's a brand split? No. Like which women and then would they ones on one show not being for the belt?
I see, problems.
And they had split belts. For the women and for the tags.
They did?
Yeah. So
cool.
They've done this before. But the tag thing's an interesting one because you end up having, as we've seen, they can barely tell two stories with different, two stories at the same time, two feuds. So you
they're doing it right now. Currently, the WWE is doing it right now because there's their feud for the belt.
There's Charlotte versus Sasha for the belt.
Exactly. And then there's also now the Becky Lynch, Natalya.
Yes.
Natty.
That's
thing.
They're barely holding it together being able to tell those two stories.
Sure.
And they've really only feature one a week. So the two shows thing could help, could hurt. But the tag thing's interesting because you end up with there's a lot of, you know, women that get lost in the mix, and that's why you have tag belts for men. That's why you have like trios in Mexico and stuff, is because there's all this talent and they're not doing anything. And yeah, they have had factions. They had, you know, Dana with Emma until she got hurt, and then Dana's with Charlotte. So you're not going to do a tag with her, Charlotte also being the champ, but you know, Naomi and Tamina should be back from injury. Nikki's going to be, you know, back and need a reduced workload. There's a lot of like reasons a tag belt can make a lot of sense.
Do you think that they should bring back these performers when the brand split returns?
Yeah, well, you know, they're looking for older talent.
You want the Jumping Bomb Angels?
Yeah.
Are they alive? I don't want to click through this. I'm
going
to go with
Jumping
yes.
Bomb Angels are alive.
Okay,
yes.
Yay. Yes, you were right, clearly. I fucked up. The lifting.
You fucked up. You
okay.
fucked up.
The lifting competition.
Yeah, I was just hoping we could go right through that.
Nope, we need to talk about it.
Okay, so there's a bench press contest.
Yes.
It's Dino Bravo with his manager, Frenchie Martin.
Which is great. I love Frenchie Martin.
And his spotter, Jesse Ventura.
I love Frenchie Martin.
Yeah. Why would you do this to a live audience or a TV audience?
Okay. The TV part of it was both... It got better the longer it went on because Jesse got more and more indignant.
But it just heel work.
Which is great.
Yes, yes.
So I will watch that all day, every right. day.
But... And they are obviously putting it over as a shoot when it's almost definitely a work. There's no way he was lifting.
Here's the thing. Even if it's a shoot,
yeah.
who cares?
No, that doesn't matter at all.
It doesn't matter.
But it's this weird, like, oh, you know what? And you could just see Vince. I mean, this is a few years before, like, the World Bodybuilding. Like, oh, you know what people like? Well, men lifting weights. Yeah, that's
it.
Let's
I
do
love
that.
It.
And, I mean, but it's clearly a work because you have Dino Bravo, like, requesting silence so the whole crowd is booing him.
It's
even
great.
Though, like,
and then Mentor takes the mic in sort of a not heel way and is like, listen, give him a shot. Let the man try.
Let him try to break this record.
And then Ventura seemingly lets it go after the whole thing is done. He's not really talking it up.
Right.
But throughout the Rumble, and then especially in the last match, Vince is like, that record was not the record. And
he's like, you clearly held the bar.
He's like, okay, what are you...
Yeah, which is just
let
really
Let it go,
strange.
Dude!
And it's like, Vince, like, if you want it to be... Then yeah, then it's good heel stuff if they cheated, right?
Yeah.
But like, you know it's because he likes weightlifting, so is he... It's very strange. He's of two minds to be like, I want to be the face announcer, but also, why do this
segment?
I want
to be a legit sportsman?
Yeah. I want to bring up...
I think that was longer, though, because Wikipedia doesn't have the times for these things.
Right, it doesn't have the...
I think it was longer than everything except the Rumble.
It's pretty long.
We
with
should
all
note
the build
that
up.
There's only four matches on this card.
Yeah, and it felt like more. There's an interesting thing about Dino Bravo that I didn't know when we'd covered him in the Mania. I don't think this came up, and it came up while I was reading Titans Sinking. On March 10th, 1993... Dino Bravo was found shot dead. He was 43 years old. He was hit by 17 bullets, 7 to the head, 10 to the torso, while watching hockey in his Quebec home. His alleged role in illegal cigarette smuggling in Canada is popularly believed to have led to his officially unsolved murder. So he was basically smuggling cigarettes using his local celebrity as cover, and the mob did not like that, so they obviously murdered him.
What?
That's how Dino Bravo went out.
That's what why I want to do this. That's the Royal Rumble.
That's
what
you
the Rumble's about.
Yeah, it's about 17 shots.
It's about mob hits from 93.
Yeah. So
holy
that was
shit.
Technically that was a thing that should have come up in the WrestleManias, but we obviously didn't do any research on those. So,
wow. Yeah. Also, he was never that much of a role.
He was just a...
He was a guy. He was there.
He was a mid-card heel. Yeah. So after that, yes, then, you know, jumping around, we did the women's match. And then we get the recap and lead up to our contract signing.
Oh, I forgot. Oh, God, it's so long. Maybe
so
this is
probably
every
the longest.
Single segment on this show is very long.
3 hours. Raw feels long now in 2016.
And it's a little bit shorter than this.
Yeah, with commercials, it's a little. Now there's more commercial time. Except segments are like there might be 2 15-minute segments. Everything else is like 5 minutes long.
Yeah,
it's ADD, and this is just so everything is like so tedious. This, you know, but at this point, it's clear what they're doing. So I think also the reason this thing exists, the show, is to promote this match.
Exactly.
Because that was going to be their main event, which was on NBC. This was the first one. Mm-hmm. They did them through the years. And the headlining match of that was going to be the Hogan-Andre rematch from WrestleMania 3. So to do that, to get there, we have to do a WrestleMania 3 recap. You do DiBiase and Hogan promo recaps where DiBiase wants to buy it and Hogan looks forlorn like he's going to sell it and then says, hell no, because he's part of Team Hell No. And then Andre chokes out Hulk Hogan.
See, okay, is Andre the best worst actor in WWE/F history because he clearly does not care at all?
Yeah, that and he's with his accent
exactly.
And with his deformity, he was unintelligible. He should never be talking.
No, you can understand him. You just had to try.
I didn't feel like trying.
I felt like trying. It's so great. The way he says DiBiase is the best.
Yeah. No, I mean, his like tongue was too large for his
But
body.
You could tell he's like, I'm just having fun.
He's having a blast.
Even though he's clearly dying, because he was.
And he was, sadly.
It's just like,
years.
DiBiase, it's so fun. He's so fun.
Yeah. That has one of my, a no context line where Ventura says, Hogan's an idiot. So this is to, they're going to do a contract signing for this rematch.
Sorry.
And the rematch main event fit that in, you know, 2 weeks, February 5th, 88, ended up drawing a 15.2 rating.
Oh,
30,
my God.
33 million viewers.
Oh, my God.
Those are records for wrestling on TV.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Ventura
That's
also,
like Super Bowl. No, it's not. Super Bowl still pulls more.
Yes, but it was a ridiculous number even though.
Oh my God!
But you figure it wasn't pay per view. It was this huge thing. It was
true.
Hogan and Andre. In
so was that peak wrestling?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense. MTV gets you to this.
Yeah,
two,
and I think the numbers,
later.
Even as big as the numbers were, I want to say there's no way they got a 15-2 in the Attitude Era. They got a 9 or something.
Yeah, that's a good point.
33 million is quite a lot.
Good for them.
Yeah. So they come out for the signing. They are playing Hogan's theme, and Ventura brings up the irony of, like, these people are cheering for real American. We're
in
Canada. Which is an amazing thing. Okay. To tie it to recent history, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, both French-Canadian wrestlers, they were at a house show in America somewhere, and... You know, Owen says to a camera for like, I don't know if it's for Periscope or Snapchat or something. He goes, I'm going to make these idiots chant USA for two Canadian wrestlers. And then 5 minutes later, he did it. And he's like, see? So, yes, it continues to this day.
You know what's interesting about that? The whole Bret Hart thing. It's like, I can't do this, not in Canada. It's like, everyone's an idiot everywhere, guys. Relax. There's nothing
there's no
is
difference.
Sacred.
No.
We're having laughs. We have costumes that are bright.
Dino Bravo and Frenchie Martin's thing was that they were French-Canadian. They were in, it's Ontario. It's not Quebec.
And the entire time, Mean Gene's like, please speak English. I do not understand you.
Yeah, you clearly speak English. Speak English. So as Real American comes down upon us, Hogan comes out in a lavender muscle shirt, blue yoga pants, and cowboy boots. And
is this the best $1 million man outfit? This has to be.
It's one. I mean,
silver
he had,
suit, dude.
He had
come
some
on.
He had some silver suits. I don't think this is the only
but
time
this
he came
one
out of
pops.
The closet. Yeah, and then you know Andre in his leisure
Andre
suit.
Andre just like I'm gonna.
This is all
this
I can.
What
this
I
is
wear.
All that fits. Yeah, and it's a tense few minutes as DiBiase is like, "You dumb idiot! I could have bought the belt from you. Now you got to face this giant again. I hope you're happy."
DiBiase's great.
Yeah, DiBiase's great. And
I don't know if you're... That sounded like...
No, I like DiBiase.
So DiBiase did not appreciate as a kid. And...
Because you were a mark.
No. It's just like, he didn't... I didn't hate him. I just was indifferent to him.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, I don't... Why? Like, I think that my whole thing was like, if you have this much money, why do you care?
Right. Like, that's the wrestling thing, though. I mean, there's so much of this. Like, The Undertaker. Oh, you have the power of lightning and, like, you're undead, yet you show up every week to wrestle. Like, don't tease the logic.
He's in the Bone Street Crew, so he's got to prove his dominance. I get that one.
Yeah.
But I think it was more like just like I don't. If you wanted, I understand to do it for money, and I understand to do it for accomplishment.
Right.
But if you have all the money and you're hiring someone else, what's the point? You know what I mean?
You're using the money to screw other people, just to like to get your rocks off.
I can't understand that.
Getting your rocks off? With
yeah,
money?
I can't understand hiring a manservant, Virgil.
I mean, it's like it's
who is IRL Hulk Hogan's best friend?
Ted DiBiase is just like indecent proposals.
Oh, no! Now
that's
I love
it. Is.
Now as an adult, I'm oh, he's the best. He's so he's having so much fun.
Right. Well, you understand it as a heel, but even then, there is a logic to it of just like he just likes flaunting his money.
I think back then, my favorite heels are like guys that was like boo was Macho Man because he treated Elizabeth mean, and Rick Rude because he would put his opponent's face on his asshole and dance, and the ladies loved
him. He treated the women nicely though.
Oh, and like Jimmy Hart was great. I love Jimmy Hart and shit like that. And Bobby Heenan, clearly. Yeah. But I don't know. Now he's the Kevin Owens. Like if I was a kid, would I like Kevin Owens? I don't know.
You'd like to, I think you'd boo him. He's very booable.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But sorry. Go ahead.
As this is happening, that's a couple tense moments of that, and then Hogan makes a move for DiBiase, gets slammed in the table by Andre, and then flips the table over on him.
Okay, and Vince will not let go that this is like a heavy table. What does he keep saying?
This is a moron.
Not hardwood, but like it's clearly not a heavy table.
It's
they
like
flip
a card
over
table.
And they show it multiple times. No, it's like the table we're at now, maybe 30 pounds.
Right, but this is ridiculous.
Hulk Hogan, semi-conscious at best. I think that was Ventura.
This is the overselling of it where it's totally not necessary.
We could remember this because they end the episode. They end this entire thing with this recap.
Right.
So it happens. They recap it right away. Then they recap it again an hour and a half later because clearly we need to make money next week.
And
that's why we're doing this.
And it's a three-hour show. You're going to keep showing replays of this.
Sure.
You know, it's 88. You're not, there's no TiVo. So then it's finally time for our first Royal Rumble match where 20 men will compete. One coming in every 2 minutes, and it's a battle royale. You get tossed out, and you're out.
Okay, did you know who won this before it began?
I think so.
Because I didn't, which made it a lot more fun.
Right.
You want to do the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, we can go through it. So, I mean, just generally, there's like three or four good wrestlers in this. I would say
that there's one great wrestler, two really good wrestlers,
and then one the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be,
and then one guy that I was kind of surprised didn't win, and we'll get to them. Sure. So it starts with the best there is, blah 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 blah. Bret Hart,
Bret Hart and Tito Santana, which it is 88. Ventura's on the mic. Tito Santana will be Chico. There will be a bunch of Mexico and Tijuana jokes the whole time,
and there are.
Yeah.
Then Butch Reed,
and also, Brett's tag team partner, Jim Neidhart, comes in to do a little bit of triple teaming, and they're trying to sell, first of all, it's worked, obviously, but it's random, so who knows? If his strike force partner comes in, it'll be a two-on-one, but if Neidhart comes in, it'll be two-on-one in the other direction.
And this is where having somebody like Jesse is great. He makes it seem like real sport.
Yeah.
It makes it a mixture of the NBA draft and like a race car race. A NASCAR race.
Do you have a race car bed?
I got a race car race.
And the draft, the randomness of it is the interesting part with the Rumble.
Yes. Now they make a sound. Yeah. I don't think there was a sound.
No, I think they just, the music would hit or the people would come out. I don't even know what the music
was. There was no music. No, it was just like, oh, it's that guy.
You just hear the pop from the crowd.
The crowd was into this entire event, by the
way. Right.
But
the biggest pop is for our fifth competitor, is Jake the Snake Roberts.
He's the great wrestler I was referring to.
Yes, of course.
He is so good in this. This is maybe peak Jake Roberts.
Yeah, he looks in pretty good physical shape, and he's at the heights of his powers. I mean, he's like right around, I guess he had just had the feud with Honky Tonk, and that's when he went face, and then in the next couple years he'll have the feud with Savage, which would be like a lot of his best stuff. Remember that time he didn't go to his bachelor party, and then he feuded with his wife? Jake's pretty great, and Jake immediately like evens the odds for the faces and dumps out Butch Reed, and then a 45-year-old Harley Race comes in. Nice perm though.
This is like we could just skip so much of it now.
I mean, yeah, there's just a lot of guys.
This is a whole lot of nothing.
Harley Race is one of the all-time greats, but at this point, he was past his prime.
Jim Brunzel.
One of the Killer Bees, soon to be a jobber again.
Sam Houston.
Jake's half-brother.
Oh.
Yeah, Grizzly Smith is his father.
Huh.
Grizzly Smith, a horrible person.
Yeah.
Dangerous Danny Davis.
Every time I see Danny Davis, I think of Congressman Danny Davis from the great state of Illinois.
Well, that's because you're from Illinois.
That's right. Boris Zhukov.
Basically not one of the Volkovs, like the other
He's
Russian
eliminated
guy.
By Jake. Yeah. Don Morocco.
Don the Rock Morocco, which is always weird to hear them talking about The Rock. And Volkov comes out the same time as Morocco, where
it's
like...
they fuck it up.
They fuck it up, but then they have to work it, so it's like Volkov's just being a heel, but then he has to stand there and wait. It was kind of embarrassing.
Yeah. Then...
fucking Hacksaw. That's,
what the fuck?
That's my note. It's just fucking Hacksaw. So races get as Jim Hacksaw...
Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Duggan.
I always fuck it up. As he's coming out, Race has gotten eliminated. He's heading to the back.
Yes.
And he like starts to pick a fight with Hacksaw. And so like Hacksaw just chases after him with his 2x4. And it's like, no, idiot. You have to go to the match you're in. And it's so dumb. Yeah, and I think that the gimmick is that he's like low-grade mentally disabled.
Oh, yeah, clearly.
Yeah. Huge face.
He's the face of CTE before we know what CTE is.
Right. And he's always, even at this point, still moved like a broken bones, just like... it's like he's like a, like falling down the stairs at all times.
Hacksaw... like, this is nothing against the person portraying Hacksaw Jim Duggins. Like, he could be a very nice man. I want to make that perfectly clear. I don't hate the man portraying the character, but that gimmick...
yeah.
I hate it. Because it's auto. It's like the fucking, fucking, what are
it's
you doing?
It's the dumb parts of like Hogan's game. Like Hogan's thing, it's like, yeah, it's patriotic. Even Cena, like the patriotic stuff. His is like the dumb parts of that. Of just like the gut jingoist, like, I have a flag and a 2x4 and I'm going to hit someone. It's just like the worst parts of like babyface gimmicks.
All right. So
keep an eye on him. Yeah, then we get a real train of garbage. Ron Bass, the other Killer Bee, Hillbilly Jim. Dino Bravo, somehow in it, even though he lifted all those weights. Ultimate Warrior. That's a thing.
Here's where I was shocked. We're at 18 already. Ultimate Warrior's number 18. We've watched every single WrestleMania. I know maybe a third of these guys, or remember a third of these guys.
I mean, they were all in WrestleManias, but they're
understood.
Very, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
For a reason.
I'm like, oh, they're clearly going to put Warrior over. It's 88. I know what happens in the future. This is Warrior's, like, first thing. I was wrong.
Well, if you think Warrior's got, he goes over in Mania 6, so it's still a little while where he was still in the midcard.
Not that far out, because the way
it's a couple years though.
But the way it's portrayed now, you're like, okay, now you have to go directly to go. You have to go to the main event of WrestleMania. But I know that in this era, we do not do that. So I was figuring, oh, they're going to put Warrior in that position because you're already busy with the Million Dollar Man.
Mm-hmm.
You're already busy with Andre. Those are your main guys. Who's going to fill that hole? It's going to be Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah,
I was a fucking idiot.
Well, yes, because after Warrior and then One Man Gang and Junkyard Dog, which I call generally, except for like two of those, it's a parade of who cares.
Well, JYD. Then
other than like Warrior and JYD.
Yes, once JYD entered the scene, I was like, oh, they're going to put JYD over. This makes a lot of sense. He was always in the top tier, but he was never at the Hogan level. He's going to clearly win. He's in last. Jesse's the entire time has been talking about how the statistical advantage
control,
of going last.
Right.
Everyone likes Junkyard Dog. Let's put Junkyard Dog over.
So here's the thing that you didn't know as a kid or now, maybe. I don't know. Duggan's really good friends with Hulk Hogan. So that's all that matters.
There you go. So based on that and only that.
Jim Duggan wins.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's really bad.
But here's the thing. It's not really bad because it's still entertaining. Bret Hart does some really cool shit the entire time, regardless of whether you like Bret Hart. It's fun to watch. And he's in the match super long because he's in first.
Right.
JYD, who I really, really like. That's a great way to bookend it, right?
Yeah.
Two pretty good guys. One of the greatest wrestlers of all time comes in at 5, so you get a lot of Jake the Snake. You get Ultimate Warrior right before his peak. It's not that bad. It's not good.
Yeah, it's not good by any means.
But it's not watchable.
No, and you can see why... Rumbles will be good, even if like the mechanics of it are generally the same.
Yes, and I think what's interesting more about this is like there's no talk of celebrity. There are no celebrity guests.
Right.
There's no celebrity announcers.
This is very much not Mania. This is very much a wrestling show.
Exactly, but it's also not just Saturday Night Main Event. It's not a Sunday morning compilation.
Yeah.
It's this weird other.
It's a special event.
It's exactly why I wanted to talk about this.
Yes.
It also shows me how fucking much crowds were into this and how diverse and not white trash the crowds were in 1988.
Yeah.
For professional wrestling. We're sort of getting to that again because it's pricing out a lot of the people that would be considered white trash now.
Right.
For better or worse.
I don't know. I mean, well, as I'm watching Attitude Era Raws and you see the signs, I'd say for better.
Probably correct. But
generally,
now
you'd
like
there to be
weird,
family
shitty
entertainment.
It's weird, shitty MMA bros in the front row for a lot of these, especially like Vegas pay-per-view that we just had. That's not fun.
No.
Who's that? That's not fun for anyone.
You generally want there to be... It is family entertainment. It's PG. Family should be able to afford it.
And it seemed like this crowd in Ontario was eating it up.
Right.
In the best possible way.
Yeah. That said, with family, you know, affordable entertainment, I will be watching Battleground from a box. So
shut the fuck up. So, yeah, in reality, Chris will be at the next pay-per-view in Washington, D.C. from a box. And I will not be there because I will be at a wedding. But between those two things, I'll be covering the Republican National Convention, the Democratic National Convention, which is like the political version of Battleground.
Explain.
What?
Explain.
Well, it's not your main event. It's not your WrestleMania. That's election night, clearly.
Yeah.
It's not nearly your Royal Rumble because that's like all the primaries lead it up to it. It's just like, this should be pretty good. Like, technically, it's a Shield reunion. It's not what we expected. Donald Trump's going to speak at all four nights of the RNC as of right now.
Amazing.
Linda McMahon will be there. This is not a JK. Did you know that?
No.
She's on the Rules Committee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Linda McMahon's on the fucking Rules Committee
for
the RNC.
Did you see that Paul Heyman had challenged Donald Trump to a debate?
Shut the fuck up. No. Today?
And then, like, the last day or so, my wife showed it to me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
On what?
He's basically... Heyman has, like, a one-man show in Glasgow.
Oh, for Fringe.
Yeah, and he was, like, challenged because of Trump. What the stuff Trump was there for recently. Like, he was there for that.
The golf course and the Brexit. Well, not there for Brexit, but...
Yeah, he was there to celebrate Brexit, yes.
Okay, so what did Heyman, like, just cause?
Yeah, because he's a showman.
Heyman's
and
great.
He's a carny.
Oh, I love this shit
Carnies
so much.
Can smell their own. That's what kayfabe is.
Let's get back to the Rumble.
So there's a Hogan promo, which I just have Hogan promo because it doesn't really say anything. Yeah. It's not particularly memorable. I don't think he brought out the cocaine for... Sunday night,
no.
3-hour specials.
No.
And then we get a to close the show, a tag match between the Islanders, Haku and Tama, versus the Young Stallions, Paul Roma and Jim Powers. The Islanders at this point were in a feud with the Young Stallions or whatever gay porn name they have, but they were in a feud with the Bulldogs because they had stolen the Bulldog, Matilda.
Yes. Which was very confusing because the Bulldog's not there.
Yeah, they were like, did they have the leash at this point? Like, sometimes they would bring out a leash.
Sure.
There was all this. And, like, at one point, Tama yells in the camera about, like, how do you like that, Matilda?
And that's really early on in the match. And Jesse's like, did you hear that, McMahon?
That's like confirmation. And this is a 2 out of 3 falls as well. But you just had your, it's very strange to end it with this. It wasn't like, I don't know. I have no idea the logic here.
This is the shortest match of the night.
Yeah.
But it's still 14 minutes long. It's still 2 out of 3. The crowd is tired.
Yeah, and don't
clearly.
They cut at between one of the falls? They do, like, I think the Hogan promo is actually between one of the falls or something. Like, it's
we clearly
it's,
did not give a shit about this.
Well, it's a very weird show. It has commercial breaks, but very much like the matches are just there to get us to the next half hour. So yeah, so Royal Rumble, the first one, not a pay per view. It's interesting to see where it's gone, having watched a handful of them over the years, and like the big. Returns. I mean, now it's the Rumble. You know, I think it probably figures itself out, or they figured out what it really was in a few years from now. Especially setting the table for Mania.
So you're saying that they're probably not going to have a weightlifting competition in an upcoming Mania?
I don't think so. Maybe unless we got
a Rumble. Sorry,
yeah, Braun Strowman out there lifting weights. I don't know.
Did you notice the camera angles?
Those wide shots?
There's a lot of wide shots and a lot of like weird zoom-ins to Jesse and over-the-shoulder shots of Jesse and Vince to show the ring. I love that.
Yeah.
I love when they don't know what they're doing and it makes it look different because everything looks the same now.
It's so, yeah, it's so sterile and controlled now that it is interesting to see.
Did you notice that Jesse, at the end of it was actually kind of cool. It's a point that was never brought up at Mania. Hogan is for a certain type of person, but anti-Hogan's for another type of person. And Jesse's clearly the anti-Hogan. And he says, I'm against Hogan. I'm the same kind of guy that likes Abby Hoffman. And Vince is like, Abby Hoffman's one of your heroes? He's like, yeah.
Which makes total sense now.
Totally.
Yeah.
When else has Abby Hoffman been brought up in WWF programming?
I imagine that's it. Thank you, Jesse.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. That's why Jesse's great. And it's great that he sued and got paid for all this when they were selling videotapes of this shit.
It's so great. It's so great.
Yeah.
Did you notice that during the last match, it's clear that they're calling the match?
Oh, I didn't see that.
And Jesse hides the fact. And Vince is like, they're calling out each other's moves. And Jesse's like, yeah, you'll hear that a lot in football and basketball, too. It's the kick into your opponent's head. Like,
he
hides exposing the business while his boss is trying to expose the business.
Does Vince forget, like, when he's doing it, I'm playing a role. I have to, like, play it 100%.
He doesn't get it. Yeah. Like, there's just something that's lacking in that. Maybe it's because he never wrestled until he was in his 40s.
Yeah, when you should start.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're the CEO.
When you have an adult son who could kick you from across the ring via a trash can.
That's the time to start. No, I think as we found out in the Mania podcast and the more, you know, reading I've done since and during all that, it really does come down to this is the, you know, the playground and the play toy, you know, the toys for like a deranged man.
I love it.
And CM Punk was right.
Whatever. I don't care anymore. I love all of this stuff so much. Did you enjoy your time?
No.
You would not recommend this to anybody else?
No, I wouldn't recommend this one. Wait till they start getting it. What, you know, maybe if we get to the, you know, Flair's win, or there's some spoiler alert, but you know, there's some good ones in there.
See, I don't care as much about good. I care about interesting.
Yeah, no, that's interesting because it's good.
And for a weird plotting, nearly 3-hour Royal Rumble, this was very interesting. It just didn't. It wasn't consistently interesting.
Correct.
Is there anything they could have done that would have made it better at all?
Just put the Rumble last.
Yeah, that's another weird thing because it doesn't end with like good night, everybody. It ends with like 3 minutes of not exactly commentary.
Yeah, they did a recap, and I think to fill the hour.
When you were watching this, did at any point you think this guy that's dealing with Hulk Hogan and this dealing with Andre the Giant, he's going to be the one that like brings in Stone Cold Steve Austin
into
the
really
company?
Strange.
Because without these two guys, without the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase and without Jake the Snake Roberts, there is no Stone Cold Steve Austin. There is no Attitude Era as we know it.
That's the
first Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that's the part of the soap opera that's great. It's just like, so I'm going back and I've been rewatching sporadically Attitude Era Ross from the 316 speech on. And then, like, pay-per-views that matter. And it's just funny because it's like, yeah, you really can't. It's like saying, all right, I'm going to, you know, read Prince Valiant in the comics, or I'm going to watch Bold and the Beautiful. Like, where do you start?
Yeah,
you know, like, there's no logical points. Like, even, I'm going to start at WrestleMania. Like, that's not how it works. Like, these stories continue. You can trace, especially WWF and WWE, like, you can trace it all. But, like, start at Hogan and start at Mania 1 or leading up to that. And then the story has continued to now.
Yeah, this is that connective tissue, this specific pay-per-view. Seeing Jake in his prime, seeing Million Dollar Man in his prime, and not even like 6 years later, totally different face of the company.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad we did this one, and I'm still trying to sell you after the fact that this was a worthwhile endeavor.
Well, we'll see if either the other Rumbles or some of the other Big Four pay-per-views or some of the other interesting things
Big
that
Four,
happen.
SummerSlam, this.
Survivor Series.
Survivor Series. And what happened to Survivor Series?
Still happens.
No, I understand that. But I watched it this year, and it was not good. And everyone said, oh, this one isn't good.
Oh, no, it was because this one was not a real Survivor Series. This one, the problem in 2015 was Seth Rollins' injury. We had to vacate. They made a tournament. When it's 5-on-5s or 10-on-10s or whatever, it can be very good.
Oh, okay.
And they had to scuttle it because of an injury.
Has there ever been a shoot Royal Rumble or a shoot Survivor Series?
No.
Damn.
I'm just going to go right off the top and say no.
Is there anything that you're looking forward to in the current WWE?
Oh, there is a shoot thing. Doesn't that happen at... I think this happens at a Rumble. I remember talking about it on the Mania, but there was one... There was a guy, I want to say it was the Rumble, and I'll look it up or get called out on it, but it was basically one of the tough enough kids, Dan DePruder, who was like a shoot fighter, and he almost like broke Angle's wrist live on SmackDown one time. And at Rumble, it was like Guerrero, Benoit, and Hardcore Holly were like beating the shit out of him. I want to say that's Rumble, but I have to look that up.
So the only one I know is like when the Blue Muni got the shit kicked out of him by like JBL, and he was super bloody. And it was just like a takeover thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that sounds about right. JBL, bully. Locker room bully JBL.
I can't wait till JBL's in the Royal Rumble. It's going to be so fun.
One day.
Anything you want to plug? Anything you want to, you're excited for in the world of professional wrestling and or the world and or the world of
Royal
Rumbles?
Yeah, this won't go up on time, but by the time this goes up, I will have gone to Nova Pro Wrestling in Fairfax at the JCC. I'm real excited.
Who are you going to see? Do you have any idea?
There's one guy, Cedric Alexander, is in a match. He's going to be in the cruiserweight
well, that's fun.
Thing. So there's some people. There's a Kimberly and Veda Scott. It'll be a good women's match.
How many people will show up to these things?
50, 60 maybe.
Cool.
Yeah. It's cool, bro.
How much are front row tickets? You have front row tickets.
Front row seats, so we don't have to see. We spend 25 a seat instead of 20, so we don't have to see the guy's ass crack in front of us.
Did you go last time and get front row?
We did not. So we saw plenty of ass crack. But you got right up in the action, you know. They'll come out of the ring.
Oh,
you want to be there.
How much do they sell beer?
I don't think so. Which is probably a good thing.
It's like a sober event.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's just on Ritalin or whatever.